Welcome to Unpacking with Jennifer. I'm your host, Jennifer Sattel. This is the podcast where we get real about all the things, from raising kids and managing family life to balancing work, endless activities, and somehow keeping your home organized through it all. As a mom and a professional home organizer, I know firsthand how overwhelming it can be. But here's the thing, organization isn't just about pretty containers and tidy shelves. It's about creating systems that work for your busy life, so you can spend more time enjoying your family and less time searching for lost shoes. Each week, we'll dive into everything from decluttering your home to simplifying your schedule, handling the chaos of kids' activities, and finding that elusive balance between work and family life. Because let's be honest, we are all trying to figure it out. So if you're ready to unpack the mess, both inside and out, let's jump into this week's episode. Welcome back to another episode of Unpacking with Jennifer. I am so excited today, but really quick, please click the like, subscribe, and follow button so that way you get notification when a new episode drops. I have so many things to talk to you about. A couple things I want to start with is, first of all, we're going to talk about garages today, and this one's a lot. So this one may be just a few pieces today and then revisit it at another time. But I want to talk about a couple updates in my life this last week. Charlotte had her break, and at her school, they never go back on the Monday. They go back on the Tuesday. So last Monday, we took Charlotte to Universal, and we had the best day, and it was so great, and it was wonderful, and she was surprised. We always try to surprise her. We never tell her what's going on, ever. We tell her, like, the morning of, or sometimes not even until we're there, like, we're driving. I just remember as a kid, if I knew I was going to, like, Magic Mountain or Disneyland, like, I could not sleep the night before at all. So I feel like she gets a little nervous in her tummy, and she gets excited, and she, you know, whatever. So we just never tell her. We want it to be a surprise. Also, if I tell her, I feel like then we have to do it. But if I wake up in the morning and we didn't tell her, she doesn't know if we don't do it. So that was just a really special day because all three of us got to go. And, you know, it's a little bit harder for David's schedule to take off during the week. And it was just awesome. And it was great. We had a great time. She had a great surprise. And then she went back to school. And then come to figure out, she basically has, like, less than, like, she's got about 3 weeks left. And then she's out of school for summer. So that was a very fast school year. Yet another one, even faster than the year before. I'm going to give you a very quick update on my name-changing status. So we got the Social Security card. Great. So then I made an appointment at the DMV because I can't really do anything until I get a driver's license with my name on it and bippity-boppity-boo, and the soonest they can see me is in 2 months. So we won't have any updates for then unless miraculously something changes and I get an appointment sooner than that. So I don't have to dread it for at least 2 more months, which is going to be terrible. I hate the DMV. I build myself up. I also hate getting anything done with my car. In a perfect world, David would just do everything with my car, including taking and getting gas. When I first learned to drive, or when I first got my license when I was 16, I was the first of my friends to get my car, so, which is a Ford Escort Pony, and it was white with beige interior, so it was a showstopper. And I did not even know how to pump my gas for like the first year and a half because everyone just did it for me. So then when I had to go by myself and pump gas, I had to ask the guy who worked there to show me how to do it. And he looked at me like, are you fucking kidding me? You, what the hell? And this was a long time ago. Imagine now, they'd probably shun me and pull out a video camera and be like, this idiot doesn't know how to pump gas. I hate anything with cars. I hate DMVs. I hate all that shit. It's just my brain just like, no, I just want to do fun stuff, and car stuff is terrible, and DMVs are terrible, and all of it. So that is my update on my name change officially happening. So we got the first part of the ball rolling. Now it seems like it's going to be a lengthy process. I mean, how committed am I to this last name? I don't know. I guess I am pretty committed. I have a funny story to tell you guys. My husband, Mr. David, he is awesome. He is amazingly wonderful. And I will not say that I have never been a sucker for things, but he is a super sucker for certain things. He will see free. He will see, oh, if you do this, you'll get something for free. And I'm like, dude, nothing is free. So a couple months ago, he calls me and he's like, Jennifer, I saw a thing for getting our pictures taken with the dogs and it's free. And I'm like, okay. And inside I'm like, it's not free. Stop saying it's free. It's not free. But I listened because sometimes I shoot him down and I know sometimes it probably doesn't feel very good because I'm like, I think this is the stupidest thing I've ever heard in my life. Not only that, we have four dogs. We have four dogs. So to take four dogs to a portrait studio, on top of this, it's black tie. We have to wear clothes that are nice and not even like, oh, these are cute, like nice, like people's suits and like prom dresses or like evening gowns or I don't even fucking know, whatever. So he tells me this and I'm like, I feel like this idea is not the best, but let's hear it out. And he tells me, and then of course, conveniently, he says, well, hold on, let me patch in the lady who works there and she's going to tell you more. So I get on the phone with, you know, whoever, Lily, let's just say. And Lily's like, oh, it's so great. You can bring your dogs and blah, da, 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 da. And it's free. You get one photo for free, but it is a $200 deposit to hold your space. And I'm like, okay, so right there, it's not free, but okay. So I pay $200 to hold this space. And I tell David, I think this is not a good idea. Oh, so four dogs. It's in Santa Monica, and it's like, let's say 10 in the morning, the appointment that we make, and because we really can't do any other time, and it really has to be on the weekends and whatever, whatever. So we rescheduled it one time because I'm like, David, I really don't think we should do this. I think it's going to cost a zillion dollars because these are studios, and they have a studio in Santa Monica, which means they have to pay rent for that. And these pictures are going to be like $500 each, and we already have a photographer that we've used for several years who is amazing and charges very reasonably rated stuff. And we're going to get one photo, which means if we take 50 photos, we're going to want all those photos because when are we going to take pictures with our four dogs? Like never. When are we going to be dressed up like this with our dogs in a studio, which is kind of weird anyway? Never. Never. I'm telling you this, never. So he tries to cancel it. They say you missed the window of 2 weeks. So you either lose your deposit or you just reschedule. And I'm like, David, just lose the fucking deposit. I don't care. He's like, it's $200. We're not going to lose this deposit. I'm like, it's going to cost us more. You're going to have to get a suit that fits you. You're going to have to get, we're going to have to get things. And then we have to drive to Santa Monica with four dogs. It's going to be so stressful because two of our dogs hate the car and the other two love the car, but I don't really think they want to take photos at a studio. I don't know. They don't tell me. So last Saturday, 5 days ago or whatever. Friday, David says, I'm still the entire week last week. I'm like, I think you should just cancel. We're just going to eat the money. We're just going to eat the $200. Just do it. He's like, okay. Then that night he'd be like, but I really want to do this. Okay. So we go back and forth. Fuck it, whatever. Friday at 4:30, he calls me. He's like, okay, I'm just getting ready to close up the shop. So now I'm going to go try to get my suit. It's Friday at 4:30 and we're supposed to be there at 10 in the morning the next day. So he goes to the suit place in Northridge, whatever, and it's like $300 to rent it for 24 hours. I'm like, this is the stupidest shit I've ever heard. He doesn't even tell me that, though. He tells me this later, but I'm trying to make this story not drag on like death. And he ends up going to like Burlington Coat Factory, which I don't even think it's called Burlington Coat Factory anymore. He's obsessed with this place. I swear to God, you would think they gave him gold bricks when he walked in, but he loves that place. He will tinker around there forever. So he finds a pair of pants. Now he's on a mission to find the suit jacket. He goes to five Burlington Goat Factories. They're open till 11. He was done at like 10:30. He found it. He found this suit. Goes, he gets three ties. He doesn't know. Whatever. we go, we get up in the morning at like 7 o'clock because I'm like, we can't be late. Now it's fucking raining. The dogs probably already know we want to kill ourselves and they probably are ready to kill themselves. There's just tension because I wanted to be like, can you just listen to me and just eat the $200? Like, please. And we get in the car and he's a little stressed out. I could see it because it's like getting the dogs in the car, getting Charlotte in the car. You know, it's like, hurry up. She's got to do this and she's going to tell you all this stuff and show me dance moves in the middle of this. And we get in the car and he looks at me and he's like, I don't think this was a good idea. We haven't even left the driveway yet. And I'm like, I'm not going to say I told you so, but I'm going to just smile and just listen to some Linkin Park or something. So we were listening to Linkin Park because I felt that that was, I just needed some screaming of like, just, I just needed that. And it's pouring rain. It's pouring rain. We're on the 405. We're going to get off at like, you know, fucking Olympic or, you know, one of those, whatever. And we get down there and it's pretty tense. It's very quiet in the car. Not tense like mad, just tense like just trying to get there in time and it's raining and it's just crazy. And we get there and I'm like, David, I think you should go inside because I don't want us and the fucking four dogs who hate our their lives right now to walk in there. And he goes and it's pouring rain. But we do see other people at the studio like in suits and dresses and stuff. So we're like, okay, I don't know. Are they doing it? So I don't know. The power in Santa Monica is out. When he walks in, he finds out that the power in Santa Monica is out. And everyone's just kind of waiting. I don't know if it was all of Santa Monica, but it was that quadrant where they were in, off of like Arizona and something. So we're sitting in the car. He comes out and he's hysterically laughing, which I already know. I'm probably mentally stabbing him. But he's like, ha, 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 ha. And I'm like, what? He's like, you won't even fucking believe this. And so he gets in the car and he's like, the power's out. I'm like, rad. And he's like, they said just to wait a few minutes. So we're just sitting in there. You could hear like fly farts. It's so quiet. And about 20 minutes later, this guy comes out. He kind of looks like Kenny G. He comes out and he leans in and he's like, yeah, we just called. And they said the power will be back between 2 and 3. And it's like 10:15, 10:20. And I'm like, yeah, that's not going to happen. And he's like, you know, you can just reschedule, whatever. And I'm like, okay, cool. And the guy's like, I'm really sorry. I'm like, it's not your fault. You didn't control the power. It's fine. And we get in the car or we pull out and I just start laughing. And then I'm like, can you please continue to play Linkin Park so I can hear some like yelling and just get some of my thoughts out of my brain. And that's what we did. And Charlotte's like, oh, the whole time we're driving up, Charlotte's like, every 5 minutes, mommy, look, I'm taking care of all the dogs. She's literally laying sideways, seatbelt in, and she's holding all the dogs so they're not scared. And then she's like, wait, we're not even going in? I'm like, nope, we just got to cruise around. It was really cool. We got dressed up. I got up at 7. David went to Burlington Coat Factory for 4 or 5 hours, 6 hours last night, 3 things. We didn't do shit. And I looked at him and I'm like, maybe we just don't go back ever. So I'm thinking he's going to finally call time of death on this because I'm telling you right now, he's going to do that solo with the dogs because I'm good. I don't need to do it. It was pouring rain. It wasn't a bad thing. It was one of those funny things where you're just like, oh my God. So that was what happened on Saturday. So I think there's going to be no pictures with dogs professionally taken at a studio in Santa Monica in our future, which I get the idea. I know why he did what he did, but I just don't think it was a great idea. But, you know, not everything, whatever. It's my opinion. He's really pumped about it, so we'll see. But that, on that note, that is my life story in the last week. And I love sharing stuff like that with you because I'm sure at some point we've all wanted to stab our husbands for not listening to us or our significant others for not listening to us when something, he just has sucker on his forehead. I just see it. You can't tell it because he has no hair, but you can. It's just like an etching in there, but he's always wearing a hat. And so I could see it just says sucker. And they saw it too. Okay, let's take a quick break. Click the like, subscribe, or follow button on any platform that you're using, and that will give you notifications when the next episode drops. Now back to the show. Okay, we're going to just move on and talk about the garage real quick because it's not actually going to be real quick because garages, as we know, are, well, they're really where everything goes to die when you want your house to look organized. I mean, let's be honest. Every single person, if they're going to have a party, if they're going to do something, they throw the shit in the garage to clean up the house so that the kitchen, if there's piles everywhere. On top of it, you have all of your decorations. You have all of your memories. You have tools and shit and shit and more shit. And then shit you don't remember you had. And then if you have little people in your life, you probably have their little cars and their bikes and their scooters and that shit. And then most of the time, you don't even have a fucking car in there. Most of the time, you don't. You have no car in there. What's funny is when I first kind of started doing this, it was right around, again, I told you guys, May will be 9 years. So let's just say that first year, I'm not going to count it, but let's say 8 years. People were starting to get Teslas and it was like, oh, we have to have the charger. We have to have the charger. I had so many people wanting to do their garage because they just bought a Tesla and they needed to have a, they needed it parked in there to have the charging station. And it was like, we used to fit two cars. Now we just need to fit a Tesla and the charger on the wall and be able to get to it. Then it was like a fire drill because if they bought it on Sunday, they're coming to install it on Thursday. And it was just, it was really funny how many people, and I still get that sometimes because they're trying to make room, but I feel like now it's just, they want to be able to walk in the garage. And I've seen some doozies, you guys. I have seen some terrible garages. A lot of times people will ask me, have you ever walked into a place, a house, a garage, an office, whatever I'm working on, or a house, where you've ever just wanted to be like, nope. And one time, and I love doing garages. I love doing what I do. I'm not a fan of bugs. I hate spiders, lizard, anything. Anything that's not like a ladybug or like a butterfly, maybe. Everything else I don't like. I don't even care if it's an ant. I don't fucking want to know about it. And garages, there's spider webs and there's ugh. And I have to like mentally prepare because I know that sometimes it's going to maybe be rats or, you know, just depends on the situation, depends on the garage, obviously. But there was one time, it didn't help that I woke up and I felt terrible. I felt like absolute dog shit, but I did not want to cancel because it was in the morning and I felt guilty. And I went into this garage and I stood there and I almost started crying because what was told to me, this is before I would be like, send me pictures and let me assess it myself. Sometimes I would do consultations, but this one, for some reason, I just didn't. And I walked in there and I stood there and I was like, please let me end my life or jump in the pile in the middle of the garage, close the door and just forget I existed because I wanted to die. It was the worst garage I've ever seen. And I can truly say that because people ask me all the time, is this the worst house you've ever seen? Is this the worst garage? Is this the worst kitchen? And I'm like, no, it's not. And usually it's not. I'm really truly being honest. But if these people ever ask me again, I would be like, you know what? You won the gold on the worst garage I've ever seen in my life. I swear to God, 27 garages exploded. They opened up the roof of their garage and everything fell into this garage. It was probably at least waist high of just shit front to back. They didn't even park in it. I mean, there was no car essence in there. It was like everything exploded in there maybe for 5 or 6 years and nobody said boo or did boo. I was so petrified there was going to be 10 bazillion bugs and it was so bad. It was so bad. It was so bad. So just remember the bar can only go up from there. Garages, a lot of times we get motivation because maybe we want to start parking in our garage again. At one point we used to before we had kids, before we collected all this shit, before whatever. My husband, as I've mentioned, he loves stuff. He loves stuff. And one of the things I have tried for the last 5 years, when we first moved into the house that we live in, I parked in the garage and I have only parked in the garage for maybe 2 years that we've lived in the house for 10 years. Maybe that first year when Charlotte was a newborn, because I would go in and out of the garage. But after that, sayonara, parking in the garage. You're on your own on the driveway. He loves stuff. He loves stuff and collecting, and there's stuff everywhere. And as we know, there's stuff everywhere in most garages. You know, in a perfect world, you're having a custom garage, or you're having the person before you, they have the shelves and they have the cabinets where you can close it and not see what's in there, right? We love that. I mean, of course, who doesn't? But the reality is most garages that I see are not custom. They have shelving. They maybe have some shelving in there, and that's great, and that's wonderful. And I want to talk about some of the things that we can utilize for garages, but just the overall, when you walk into a garage, it's usually not that great. To be completely honest, there's a lot of stuff, and really a lot of it, I would say at least 40% of it right out of the gate is just can be gone. Once you go into a garage that maybe hasn't been touched or organized in a long time, right out of the gate, 40%. Sometimes it's just freaking empty boxes and empty bags that you saved and you throw in there. And you should see, I remember one time I had a client say to me, oh my God, my garage is so bad. And once I took out all the empty boxes, I don't know what it is. Remember, guys, I really don't keep a lot of stuff. So I know that I am saying this, but I do understand and empathize with our thought process of these things. Some people buy a vacuum, or they get a blender, or they got their, dishes and, stuff like that. And they keep every box of everything, A blender. They're like, well, if I want to return it, the blender was $12. If you're not going to pack it back up in the box. So a lot of times half of the garage will be like that kind of stuff and bags. So she's like, oh my God, my garage is so bad. Once I took out all the empty cardboard and all the bags of bags, right? Because bags of bags of bags of bags, I swear to God, half of it looked immaculate. It was just stacked up as high as it was. I don't think anything had ever been thrown out. I filled up like a dumpster of just empty stuff. I never touched anything. So, I try to tell people, keep one or two bags of bags. Put one of them in your car, have one of them in your garage. I know we use bags. We go to the beach, we do this. And I'm not even talking about like beach and like duffel bags and stuff like that. I'm talking about grocery store. You went to Home Goods and you bought a bag. I mean, there's so many bags. Or you went shopping and you kept every bag because you went to this boutique in Santa Barbara and the name was really cute. If you're not going to use the bag, you don't need to keep it. Recycle it or, give it away. You don't need 7,000 bags of bags. Something else that a lot of us go to Costco, right? A lot of us go to Costco. And this is, there's two sides to this because some people have the luxury of these cabinets or shelving and some people don't. Some people have, very small garages where like only one car can fit. I mean, two-car garages, let's be honest, rarely do you see two cars fitting in there because with the shelving and stuff, it kind of takes away from some of the spacing. From a space planning standpoint. So you a car can fit in there. But, they have great shelving units at Costco, Amazon, stuff like that where you can store it. But I always tell people, try to store, your carryover stuff, like your Costco carryover. I call it Costco carryover. It could be whatever. It could be Sam's Club. It could be grocery store. I don't care. But I say Costco because I feel like everyone buys a bazillion things of toilet paper, paper towels, that kind of stuff. Plastic utensils, and stuff. Stuff that you use that you want access to immediately. You open up the door, you don't even really have to walk in very far and you can grab what you need, maybe extra drinks, maybe extra waters, whatever. I always try to have a station in the garage that is that. If you have a custom garage and you have cabinets, same thing. But overall, you can get really inexpensive shelving. I would say $50 and under. It for something that's functional that you can put stuff like that on there or stuff that you carry out, you grab while you're walking to your car if you do park in the garage or you do go through the garage. We love to go through the garage. So it's perfect if you want to just grab it and go. So that's just your preference, whatever. We can dive into that a little further, but you get the point of that. So the process of a garage, so there's a couple different things. And only really in the last few years have I, when a light bulb goes on in your head and you're like, this is genius. Like this, why didn't I think of this sooner? So a lot of times we'll go through the garage and it's all like your holiday stuff and like holiday decorations, whatever, costumes. There's some people where Halloween is like, it's like bigger than Christmas, you know, and I love Halloween and we decorate for everything. We really do because we're those people. And also Charlotte absolutely loves it. So if she smiles, I smile and everybody smiles. But I've always loved it even before she was in the picture of our life. But I'll tell people, like, sometimes they'll have like 60 boxes or 60 bins of like costumes. They keep every costume. I'm like, are you really wearing these costumes? Well, in case you need to wear these costumes again, I'm like, you're probably not going to, but okay. But holiday decorations, sometimes I'll tell people if it's going to be holiday season, I'm like, let's not go through these. So if it's, let's say it's September and it's like holidays are coming up, right? You're going to decorate for, Halloween. Put everything out. If you truly use everything in all of those bins, great. Absolutely wonderful. We make sure to slap a label on it. It's good to go, but you don't have to touch it twice. We don't have to do it in September and then you're going to take the stuff out. But if you realize that you don't like some of the stuff or the decorations have kind of broke or they're kind of, you know, tchotchke, or maybe you got them, you know, at the 99-cent store 27 years ago and you want to toss them or donate them, that's a great time to do it, is actually when you're decorating. I don't know why. Sometimes ideas come to me and I'm like, that's a no-brainer. Why was I doing it 5 or 6 times? Because people do want to purge some of the decorations, or, you know, their kids aren't into it as much, or it was maybe like whatever the situation is. A lot of times it's just broken shit. You put it in the bin and it's broken. Same thing Christmas, you know, whatever. So that's something that could be, if it's that, you can do it whenever, but I'm just saying it kind of saves you that spot because you're decorating your house. And you know what you like. Like this year, I was like, I got rid of an entire bag of Easter stuff because I'm like, why do I have this? We never even used it since Charlotte was little because she was super into all this stuff. We never even used it then. So why don't I just give it to someone who can use it? So that's a kind of a time saver in terms of when you're going through your garage. Another thing too is what I do as a starting point. A lot of feedback that I've gotten is kind of diving in more to the actual starting point, because most people get a little paralyzed when they walk into a room or an office or a closet and they just see the shit box. The stuff is everywhere. You know, obviously we're going to make it look amazing, but if they're doing it on their own, they walk in and they're like, I just don't know where to start. Same thing with the garage. It's a lot. You know, sometimes I have to stand there for a minute and just think about the system, but my system has really changed. It may change. I continue the same system. It works for me and it really does seem to work for everybody that I've helped. But it's on a smaller scale. So if I have a garage, I do it into fourths, sometimes half if there's not that much, but I separate it into fourths. So first I do everything that's on the floor of the ground of the garage, I take out, but I take it out like half at a time. So I'll take one side out, pull it onto the driveway, move your car if you can, or if there's floor space, great, we'll just do it in there. But I usually pull it out into the driveway, lay it out, and then I kind of sort it. Maybe it's all just crap, I don't know, but I sort it to somehow organize the crap, you know, if it looks like tools or it looks like, you know, projects, one side, if it looks like toys, maybe you have a little baby and you're saving it for a little bit older stuff, or clothes that we save when our kids outgrow it for the next kid, that already, you know, we're probably not going to get rid of. So I kind of just lay it out and sort it. And then I always say, let's do a drive-by on this. Let's walk here. It's not painful. I'm not necessarily going through bins right now. I'm not even talking about bins. I'm talking about the stuff that is just on the ground, the stuff that you've thrown in a bag or you've just set in an old Amazon box or whatever. But I pull every single thing out that's on the ground. And like I said, I split it in half so it's not too overwhelming. Sometimes if there's so much, I just do it like in fourths. But pull out a section, a row in the garage, line it up. Another thing I do is if they have any like Amazon tables or anything like that, I will tell them, let's set those up. So then when you're sorting stuff, you're not like bending over. It's comfortable for you. We kind of make these little stations and I try to sort it by like items and put them on the tables there. And that's what I do. So, and I just say, come, let's do a drive-by real quick. Some of this stuff is so easy. You can look at it and be like, I don't want this anymore. And once you say yes, or maybe I'm not ready right now, I just put it aside. There's no organizing in the beginning, just so you know. I may sort it. That's about as organized as it is, but it's not even detailed. It's just kind of putting like items together. Same thing on the other side. Just take it out. Now you have the floor, you know, Maybe it's in the driveway and it looks chaotic, and it's always chaotic for an hour or two. It's always chaotic. So just keep that in mind too. When you're organizing something, and it could be you. I mean, obviously I'm doing it this way, but it really helps to see everything. You forgot half the stuff you had. And men, they tend to, we have the Ring in our house, or, what's Google security, or all these security systems. And maybe they tried one and it didn't work and they got another one, or maybe that was on sale. I will see like sets of like the Ring and like the Ring boxes, and we decided to do Google this or whatever other security stuff, or the baby monitors, and just 27 different ones that they forgot they had, or maybe they threw it in there and then they ended up buying more. And so you're like, shit, now I have all this stuff that I didn't know I had. So that's always great. And just going through that stuff on the ground and pulling it out onto the driveway, making a workstation, making it easy for everybody, and just beginning the process of just very generic, yes, no, maybe so, very generic. If the garage is super packed, we know it's super packed, I will always suggest, just because we never have enough trash cans, is maybe getting a dumpster. Some people have the luxury of maybe they have their own business and they can take it to their office and throw it away there so they don't have to spend the money. But a lot of people, it's just like, let me just get a dumpster. I have a lot of references for dumpsters that I use. And, you know, at the end of the day, it's just easy. They handle it. They take it. And in some cases, it's worth a few, few hundred dollars, $200-$300. If you get to keep it for 7 days and really just kind of dive in, because you're not cleaning the garage all the time. No one wants to do that. So it's really a project. It's a project. It's a weekend project for a lot of people. And if you're doing it on your own, it may even be longer than that. Get a dumpster, whatever. Usually if I see a garage based on pictures that I see people send me, or if maybe I've walked their house and done a consultation, an in-house consultation, I will also then set up a donation to come, usually that following day. So if I go on if I'm there on a Saturday or Sunday or both days, I try to have it come that following Monday. We just leave the stuff, in the driveway, or they can pull it out really easy if there is a donation time available, because I usually have enough time to do that, which then is one less thing to have to worry about. If I can't get a donation, or if there's not that much, I usually try to take your donations, or they'll load up their car and take the donations for you. Or for me, they'll take the donations for themselves, I should say. That's really helpful, because a lot of times we go, we'll donate it and I'll come back in 6 months and those same bags are sitting there in the garage. And again, it's just not necessary. Like, I try to make your life easier. Let's make it easier. I make those phone calls. I get you what you need so that when we walk out of that garage, you can feel good and either park your car, grab your charger, do a dance, do the worm. I don't know what you want to do in your garage. Break dance, whatever you want to do, but you can do it and not have to worry about, I have to go to donation, I have to do this. Some people don't want to do any of that stuff, and that's okay. But that's what I'm here for. So that is the start of the bottom of garage floors. I can't even talk today. So the next thing I do is we've pulled out the holiday stuff. That is its own area. And like, if you want to touch it now and the day we're doing it, that's fine. But we also don't have to. And anything that is baby stuff, kids stuff, you're saving it for the next child, the sizing. We also have to remember too, some of the clothes we keep, I've noticed this in the last few years, if you have a 13-year-old and then maybe a girl, and then you have like, let's say an 8-year-old boy, and then you had like you have a 3-year-old girl, and you're hanging onto those clothes when your daughter was, 9, 10, 11, that's a long time to hang on to those clothes before your little one gets in there. And a lot of times the elastic is shot on those clothes, especially swimwear, especially like sometimes like shorts and stuff, the elastic, it gets like crunchy and so you just want to be mindful of that and kind of just see. And when you have your first baby, you save every single piece of everything, every sock, everything. By the time, if you've had 3 kids, you get down to it, they're wearing like 3 t-shirts. You're like, here's a pair of socks, I think. It's just very different. So they might not need as much of that stuff. And also just make sure that, it's still usable. If not, let's donate some of it. And they label it or whatever. So that's just like easy kind of big stuff. And then you're diving into the actual organizing. But for right now, I just want to touch base on the parameters. I'm touching on the floor, the ground, how you get that going. Sometimes we see, as you know, and I generally say this is with men, not necessarily, but they love cords. I mean, cords are like, I don't know. I want to get the cords and just like hang myself because it's so terrible. Boxes and boxes of cords of what if? What if you need this? What if? I'm like, no one has a house phone anymore. You don't need the cord with the two bebops that plug into the wall. No one is using this. And maybe you have a landline. Let's just say you have a landline. Some people still do, and that's okay. You can. You have one cord, and it's probably with the phone that's already plugged in. You don't need 75 other things. It's so crazy. You should see how many boxes, bins of freaking cords. I can't even. And I have this one client, and it's funny because I've been at her house this week, and I love her and her husband to my toenails. They're so great. But I've never in my life met people that have more cords and more paperwork. I told him, if I make an award, you guys are going to hands down get the two categories, because I joke with them. Her husband, he's a doctor. And of course, a lot of the stuff was like college papers and school papers and stuff like that. Bins and bins and bins. And if it's not of papers, it's of cords. And I'm like, do you even have a flip phone anymore? You don't. Do you even have that anymore? You don't. You don't even live at that house anymore. Why do you still have, you know, whatever? And we laugh about it, and it's actually a joke. And I told her, I'm like, I promise you, I will make fun of you at some point while I'm on my podcast talking, because she's like, I'm like, I've never seen it. Every time I look, I'm like, how? They multiply when I'm not there. They're like gremlins. Like, you add water and more cords appear and more paper appears. My husband's the same way. He's like, you never know, Jennifer. And in our 12 years that we've been together, one time he has sent me a picture of a cord that he dug out of a box. And he said, see, I did have a cord that we needed. And I'm like, one cord in 12 years. Still have the bin of cords though. Don't you worry. If anyone was worried, still hung on to it, because there's a lot of what ifs and maybes. I don't know. So that stuff I organize right away too. And just when I say organize, I pull it and say, hey, let's kind of go through and see. And you know, with Apple products, as we know, every year there's new, but back in the day, you know, back in the beginning, every year it was a different kind of cord. Now they, you know, kind of streamlined it. Now they don't even give you a cord. You pay $1,000, you have to buy your own charger, whatever. That's a whole other topic. But anyways, so some of the Apple stuff, cords are, you know, not relevant anymore. And, you know, we used to have our, what were they called, iPods with all our music. I see like the first generations and they're like, I spent so much money downloading music on these, and, you know, they hung on to it. And I'm like, why? Why? So maybe we'll make a electronic recycle bin or something like that. But that's just kind of touching base on some of the main parts of the garage. And there is going to be a part two on this garage conversation, because it is a lot. But for right now, I just wanted to kind of touch on the big pieces. And then I will revisit this on our next podcast, so we can really dive into some of the other stuff and also solutions for garage in terms of storage, and, you know, the differences since some people have the luxurious, like I said, custom garages where they have endless space and, you know, 4-6 car garages. And you're like, you know, I could have a nightclub here. You don't have to worry. And they, you know, don't have anything. But some people don't have that luxury. And most people don't have that luxury. So I want to talk about some solutions for storage and, like, you know, shelving and stuff like that. So that is all for today. I thank you so much for listening. And I look forward to talking to you next time. Thank you so much. That's a wrap on today's episode of Unpacking with Jennifer. I hope you're walking away with a little inspiration and a few practical tips to make life at home just a little bit easier. If you love the episode, be sure to subscribe so you never miss a new one. And if you found it helpful, I'd love if you left a quick review. It helps more moms like us find the show. Let's keep the conversation going. You can find me on social media at Jennifer_Sattell for more organizing tips, behind the scenes moments, and a whole lot of real life. Until the next time, take a deep breath, give yourself some grace, and keep unpacking what matters most. This episode was engineered by Robert Altshuler. Music by Coldfire. Recorded and mixed at Command Recording Studios.